Well, I do desire your prayers. I pray that the Lord would anoint the word to our hearts, and that we wouldn't just hear it, but that it would be able to make application for our lives. Has anyone in here ever been tormented by the devil? Have you ever had that tormenting of mind? Have you ever fought that and faced that? It seems as though that's prevalent. Maybe becoming more powerful or something in the day that we live in. I don't know. Maybe it's just in my own battles, my own places. But the devil bothers me. He does. He bothers me. And I can't sit and tell you all the ifs and ands about where that comes from or what difference it is. Why is it better today than it was yesterday? And why is it worse tonight than it was last night, and those kind of things. But I know it happens from time to time. I felt like last night, I felt like I was really attacked by the devil. I felt like I had such a sense of discouragement flood over my soul. A sense of darkness I was trying to sleep and couldn't hardly, Linda wasn't feeling well, and a child was sick, and all those things, and it seemed like there was just this deep, dark sense that came over me. Did that ever happen to you? Those kind of things are my unique in this battle. Maybe the devil don't bother anybody in here but me. I don't think that's true. The devil bothers all of us if he can, and I pray the night that the Lord would help us, that we might be able to maybe get a little stronger foothold in this time that we live in, to be able to deal with those things, because I don't think that you ever get to a place in your life that the devil won't bother you. I don't believe that there's an experience strong enough to keep him from tempting you. I don't believe that he'll quit on you just because you hit a certain age or stature or anything else. I think the devil is going to bother us, and I pray that the Lord would help us to get a good hold on the victory of it, to understand what may be a little better. This is not anything exhaustive for sure, but maybe to have a little bit more insight into things and to be able to know where we can stand at and what is the power of our victory. We'll look with a scripture in the fourth chapter of Matthew. It says in the first verse, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." Well, we'll comment a little bit on that. If thou be the Son of God. You think the devil knew who he was? Well, then why did he say, if you be the Son of God? He was trying to place a doubt there, wasn't he? It wasn't. That's what the suggestion is. Isn't that what the devil is trying to do to us? To make us feel this great sense of discouragement, like I can't make it, or possibly God don't care, or to make us feel the feelings. See, the feelings that we go through are very real to us at any given time. Without that feeling that comes with these things, it hardly is powerful at all. But the feeling that comes, we deal with our feelings, and in the middle of a dark night, it's a perfect time to come to me and make me feel discouraged, depressed, despondent, hopeless. That isn't the same when the sun's shining down on my head. It isn't the same when I see things clearly, when I'm wide awake, when I've got the pure ability to reason and to think. But the devil wants to try to do something. So you'll notice here that the Lord had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. So there must have been feelings that went along with it, and passions and desires that went along with that. That was the perfect opportunity for the devil to come in, even to the Son of God. He knew he was the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God, do something. But there's another interesting thought in this third verse. It says, and when the tempter came. That word tempter, I couldn't say what it word is in Greek, but the root word of it meant to pierce or to probe. It's like to find out what something really is. Do you know what I'm saying? You got some trees around here, for instance, and you may say, these are oak trees, but what's the center of that tree really? Is that a solid tree? Do you know you don't really know how solid those trees are out there? Now, if you had happened to look and see that there would be a small knot hole opened up or something, or a small place you can get them knowing, people that fool a lot with wood would know that that's probably not a solid tree. It's probably defective inside. But there's only one way to really know what's really in there, and that's to pierce it. That is to probe it. That is to go and find out what's really in there. This is what the tempter comes to do. Because we are making a profession. Okay? We are saying to the world, we're saying it to God and to the devil, that we are saved. By the grace of God, we are saved. And we are changed. And we are a different person. And we got the Spirit of God in us and helping us and all that. But the tempter is going to come along and say, is that true, brother? Are you what you say you are? The temptation is simply to get to the meat of the matter. You're not going to just deal with the surface now. You're going to go find out what you really are. The Scripture says, Jesus said, that the prince of this world cometh. He does what? He findeth nothing in me. So he went all the way and he looked through it. And he done whatever he could and tempted and looked. He looked and tried to find something there. But Jesus said he didn't find anything. There wasn't nothing in there. The devil's going to be there no matter how pure you are. But he's always going to be challenging who you really are. Who you really are. And if you're not what you're really supposed to be, that's where that temptation is going to be shown up at. That's where it beyond temptation and becomes the failures and sins of our life. Because it's opened up to see that. This here illustration says some things to me. It says one thing to me that you'll never be so saved, if you will, or close to God that you can't be tempted. Do you know what Jesus could have said here? The devil could have come to him and said, if you say you're the Son of God, and Jesus said, just hold your language now. I know I'm the Son of God. Be gone. Wouldn't be much to write there. Wouldn't be much of a story. But he could have dismissed it, but he didn't. He showed us. I believe Jesus was weak in the flesh at this point in time. I believe it was the opportunity that the devil took. But he done this to teach you and I something. He done it that we might have a way of knowing and understanding that the devil is going to come to every one of us and tempt us. He's going to aggravate you as much as he possibly can. He's going to torment your mind as much as he possibly can, just because that's what he does. He says to the Lord, or basically this is an idea of not trusting. It's distrust. The whole idea of turn these stones into bread. You say you're the Son of God, you ought to have the power to be able to do that. Surely he did have that. But he said three very important words. It is written. Lord help us. I am convinced that we don't know the power of those three words like we should. The power that he said it is written is to state that, to my mind, it is unmovable. It is written, men. It is not changeable. It is not arguable. It is written means that it is eternal, ever established and settled. God said it, it is forever that way. It is written is a powerful statement. I recently was just thanking the Lord for a newness of revelation that the Lord was giving me. simple revelations through the scriptures. I had never seen them before, and I was astounded at some of the simple words, Word of God. Some of the fifth chapter of Matthew, read it over and over and over in my life, and came to new and deeper understandings of it is written. This is what it means. And I was just rejoicing in these new facts. Oh, Lord, it's alive and working, and it really means something. Jesus said that right off to the devil. He had absolute power over the devil, but he used something that you and I can use. It is forever this way. It is written, devil. It is written, you don't control me. It is written, I'm a child of the King. It is written in the Lamb's Book of Life that I'm saved. Oh, he come to the Lord and said, if you're the Son of God, but he ever come to you and say, if you're really saved, you wouldn't be like you are. So pitiful. Pathetic's the word that I like to use for myself sometimes. You're so pathetic, the devil. You're so worthless. You never can think the thoughts that you have run through your mind. You never feel like you do in the middle of the night if you was really sanctified. You ever have the devil do those kind of things? It is written. It is written. Devil, it is written. That is powerful. We need to enforce ourselves. We need to, what do you say, inspire ourselves. We need to build ourselves up with the Word of God. And it is written. It's powerful to our lives. It'll work any time in a day or night. It is written. What was written? But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It is written. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, what things? Every material thing that you can think of, your food, your raiment, your shelter, all of these things will be added unto you. Oh, quit your fretting, dear one, and say it is written. God established it forever that if I am faithful to Him in righteousness, He'll be my keeper. And I can proclaim that in my life, for it is written. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Now here's the devil. You said it a while ago, I'll say it now. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hand they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. That is in the 91st Psalm. And so the devil comes. You know, the devil knows Scripture. The devil can use Scripture. But the Spirit knows what it says. The Spirit knows the application. Jesus said unto him, it is written. Again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up unto an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. The temptations, the probings, the places where the Lord or the devil comes and endeavors to see how deep your commitment really is. How really deep you really are what you say you are. Are you really going to stand if it really gets deep enough? If you tell the Lord, I'm going to do something and I'm going to do it faithfully, how faithfully will you do it? Do you know that the devil will challenge every one of those commitments with the world, Tempted him with the world, did he not? The ambition of the world. You can have all these things. Tempted him to idolatry with it. How deep was the Lord's commitment about these things? He was hungry and he needed food. He was without anything. He said himself he didn't have no place to lay his head, and yet there before him was the mansions of the world. All the soft comforts of the world, and he could have had it right there. And all these are in the time of his weakest moments to find out really what's in him. Folks, you know our biggest guard against these things is to fully consecrate ourselves to the Lord. That's our biggest line of defense, is to say, you have nothing to offer me. I've given it to the Lord. It don't matter whether it's a dollar or 10 billion. I'm not trading it. I'm not giving it up because my commitment's too much. Years ago, I remember, I was young in the Lord and quite foolish, but I remember I went to a lot of people was debating. We had got the lottery up there in West Virginia. And people was arguing religiously about its righteousness or its unrighteousness. And I knew where I stood on it. But I took my car into a garage and had some work done onto it. Well, when I paid the bill, they give me the receipt and all that and pulled me off a lottery ticket. And that was one of the things they give. Immediately I had a lottery ticket. Now, gambling's only when you got something to lose. I did not pay for that, so I couldn't have lost my dollar. And so I've got a lottery ticket there, and I'm immediately in a dilemma. You know what that was? That was seeing how deep I was. That was trying to find out, other than what I say with my mouth or the way I act, that was a way of the devil to pierce, to probe inside into where the real affections of a man really lie. And that's where he went to inside to try to say that. Because there is, in most of us, the idea to have a little more. There's an idea in there of what I can do with gain. There's a little temptation in there of those kind of things. And so the logical is, with the devil sitting there in a setting on your shoulder telling you, you didn't buy that. Go ahead and scratch it. Go ahead and scratch it. And I pondered that. Would I be at guilt to scratch it? I've sure said enough against it. But what glory I had that day. And I always said, and I say it to this day, I hope somewhere back in the history of the West Virginia Lottery that there was a $100,000 ticket that was never claimed. If I'd hear that, I'd chuckle. I've never heard that. Because I don't know what it was. Because I never scratched it. But in my mind, I always said, I hope it's worth a fortune. Because it would mean more to me to say to the devil, I don't want your money. I don't want your money. I got something that's worth more than that in my life. And the devil's coming and he's trying to challenge those places in my life. And I was glad, after a mild temptation of the time, I was glad that I was able to say, I don't want it. I made a commitment to the Lord. For it is written, see, I will be with you to the end, even to the end of the world. For it is written, my Father has a cattle on 1,000 hills. For it is written, I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. It is written that the Lord takes care of the righteous. He clothed the lilies of the... It is written he clothed the lilies of the field. It is written he feeds the sparrows. Oh, devil. Wrong temptation. For it is written. Jesus said to him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. When people run into these kind of places, trouble of the devil coming in and tempting the long temptations, I want you to know that the only failure you can have is one with God. He's a liar from the start. The failures that we have is because of somewhere in there, there's that place that can be moved. David was a man of God, but he allowed his life to get shabby. And there was a temptation. And I've said this different times, but David arose from his bed one afternoon, went out on the rooftop, and he beheld a woman. She was bathing. And the scripture says that she was beautiful. Now, why would that be strange? Of course she was. It's the way temptations work. It's the way they work. To the deepest place that you have. You say, I'm always failing at certain things. I never can really get the victory over certain things. That's where the devil knows where to pierce. That's where he looks and probes and finds a place in our experience that we haven't turned over to give to God. There is a place that I would say, I'm not there. I had somebody say one time about that, about music. He said, I've tried and tried. It's got a hold of me so much, and I love music so much, that I just can't quite get the victory of it. I find myself always falling back and listening to music that's less than wholesome. And I just can't quite get there. That's where the devil comes in and finds that place. That there is a place that isn't given to God. Our victory is to give it to God. We got to give it all to God. Live or die, Lord, it's yours. I give it to you in these places. We have no ability to defend against the devil ourselves. And what it is, he's looking for the desire in there, the longing in there, something in there that's left as a seed that he can come in there and get it. And he's tried it at different places, did he not? At different ones that was more faithful. You think that was a probing of Daniel's life, maybe? A piercing to find out if Daniel was really... It's easy enough to show everybody you're righteous. You're a man of God, sir. You going to die for it, Daniel? I'm sure there was those that had indignation towards him and hatred towards him and bitterness towards him or jealousy and covetousness against Daniel and the way he lived and the way he was exalted before the king. But David, are you real? Or is that all a facade? Are you real? Then there comes a great trying, a temptation to probe Daniel down to his very deepest places. You love this way? Do you trust in it enough? Is the God that you've proclaimed as God of the universe and the one true God, the one that answers your and shows you dreams, is he really God? So we'll make a decree. Anyone to pray to any other God or man except for the king be thrown into the lion's den. Now, Daniel, righteous man, holy man, you got it. And he went and he threw open his shutters and he bowed down and he prayed towards Jerusalem just like he did afore. Because it went all the way through. What David was on the outside is what David was on the inside. Or Daniel was on the outside was what Daniel was on the inside. He was real and genuine. See what I'm saying? There has been those that have been shown up for less than that. Because when the trial came, they wasn't able to endure it. They fell into it. Because they was less than what they had claimed that they were. Job came to a time, a righteous man. One that loved right, loved God, hated evil. And Satan came before the Lord. And the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job an upright man? Oh, yeah, I've considered him. But you've blessed him. You've got a hedge around him. But if you would do something to him, he'd curse you to your face. I'm ad-libbing, tell that my way. This is what he'd do. If you would touch his things, he won't be faithful. Is he the real thing or isn't he? Is God real no matter what your circumstances are? Is He God of the mountain? Is He God of the valley? Is He God in all your circumstances? The devil will eat up a lack of faith. He will. To match this idea of piercing in Ephesians 6 and 16, it talks about being able to defend against the fiery darts. Darts that pierce. Darts that penetrate. To find out what's really in there. Biopsies, if you will. Let's look in, let's biopsy the soul and see if it's genuine and real in there. Do you know what this is, all what this is? But God knows all this. Do you know at the end of every temptation, and God's there to do just what He did to the Lord, to send His angels to minister? Do you know there's a reward in God for every trial we go through, and at the end of it, there's gold? The trying of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes? This isn't uncommon, is it? Is the trialing of our faith, is it unusual? Is it peculiar? Is this strange? Think it not strange that these things will happen? Oh, devil's right there at the head of it, of course. But we win. We win through it all. Challenging our minds, challenging our places, and yet God comes through every time. Lord, help our faith to be able. Because we live in a time, it seems to me like, to where the spirits of the enemy are rampant. To affect our minds. To affect our confidences. But yet, Lord's still supreme. He's still God in the middle of it all. And He has kept His people all the way through. So, the devil went and caused these things to happen. And if you'll look into Job, you'll see this. There was something that the United States military called shock and awe. And what it was is that they would load up their heaviest weapons. They did it in Iraq. They stealth bombers, cruise tomahawks, cruise missiles shot off the Missouri. They sent this overwhelming bombing force that was meant to utterly destroy all morale. It was so awe to be in that look and for those bombs. It was irresistible. You couldn't stand against it. It was to break the will of the people. It's been tried many times. It's what the devil did to Job. Before one messenger quit speaking, another one showed up. Before that one quit, another one come. His whole life went into a spiral right within moments. Children died in fire. Camels were stolen. Sheep destroyed. All this happened over until the man that had plenty had nothing. And it all happened in a time, in a moment. Was he real? Job had proclaimed God. Now, Job, you stood as king. They said in a way I've read about him, that he was a king of his time. He went from a king to a pauper in a minute. Now they've come and told him, you've nothing. And what's his response? Naked I came into this world, and naked I'll leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Still there. I'm still there after all the shock, the discouragement. All of that happened. And he still glorified the Lord, and he didn't charge him foolishly. And he believed in a God. The devil must have been disappointed. Well, he went back again. You considered my servant Job? Ah, yeah, sure, things are cheap. You touch his body, he'll cushy to your face. That does get close, doesn't it? It's hard to suffer. It's hard to have pain. I've noticed something. We're made a whole being. When my body hurts, I hurt everywhere. When your body hurts, it's hard to pray. It's hard to do the things you got to do when you're in a lot of pain. We're made all together. So God said to the devil, you got the right to touch him. You can't take his life. But you touch him. So he went and touched him. Boils. You ever have boils? I had them when I was young a lot, my knees and my legs, and it ain't fun. But he had them all the way from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. His whole body was covered by boils. You real yet, Joe? You still real? You still believe? Did God forsake Job? Wasn't that the debate? Had God given up on him? Had he sinned and called God to turn his face? Job, what about you? Are you still real? Are you still what you claimed you were? Yeah, and you know what? God knew what he was doing the whole way through. He came out as pure gold. Oh, Job was an incredible man for his day before he got started. But when he got through, he came out as pure gold. I've heard of him. Now I've seen him. I've met him. I've talked with the Lord. He's been close by. I'm better off now than I ever was. You know, that is to be your ending of every trial the devil has for you. Every temptation, every struggle, every trial, every long night, every series of long nights, every situation that life gets in you, God's got a plan for you. And it's called gold. He wants you to come out as gold at the end of it. That's the plan. The devil is a pawn in the Lord's hand. He can only do what he allows him to do. He can only do what he's supposed to do. God knows every one of it, and it is a searching for the real you. Lord, help us to be real. Lord, help me to be real. I heard this story. I like telling it and hope I get the details altogether accurate. But I know a brother, that was in a situation with his business, and come the news that he had lost a big bunch of what he was doing was destroyed, damaged, and cost thousands and thousands of dollars. And this was told from the man who knew him and was watching and said, I want to see how that man responds. Because he's under the gun, and here's all these thousands and thousands of dollars at stake that he lost. And this guy testified that he said, I watched him real close, because you can say and act and do anything, but boy, this is where it really is at. And he said, I watched. Sometimes those kind of things happen and they get to us and all that. But I'll say this to you. It is the trying of your faith. It is a time to say, Lord, help me to be more of what you would have me to be. And we'll look at another scripture. It's over in the book of Luke. 21st chapter of Luke. 26th verse. I'll go to 25th. Luke 26 and or 21 and 25 says, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distresses of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Well, what do you think about this guy over in Korea? This North Korean. Anybody follow the news much? Keeps saying he's got some nukes and he's sending them our way. I don't know. Is he just a crackpot over there somewhere? Is he just a nut? I don't know, but he does have nuclear weapons, and he has been saying he's time to square up with the United States. And he's going to start firing missiles. You basically saying, you just watch out for me, and you better go wide around me, because I'm ready to start dropping them on you guys. Yeah, maybe he's just talking. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe he means it. I don't know about you, but when these things hit my life, I'm thankful there's a God in heaven. I'm thankful that Kim Young, whatever his name is, don't rule the world. Jesus does. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I can have a faith in God when those kind of things come. To say, if that's what the Lord's going to allow, it'll happen. And when he says no to it, it won't happen. Thank the Lord. Isn't it true? If the Lord said for that thing to misfire, it'd misfire. The Lord is still in control and He's still my God, and I'm glad that He is. And that therefore when these things happen, I can say, for it is written, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. And that satisfies my mind, because now I can say there's something bigger than diplomacy. There's something bigger than past mistakes. There's something bigger than our arsenal being bigger than theirs. It's His footstool. And I'm glad for it. It says, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. All right, men's hearts failing them. Distress. Fear. All those things are real to the human experience. And the devil magnifies all those things. And the devil will wear us out with them. Folks, listen, we live in a time we're going to have to face these things. We're going to have to face the author of confusion and all those things too. But there's victory. There's victory in the Lord. There is victory in this time. The Scripture says, if we can get a hold of it, it is written, fear not him that is able to destroy the body. Get a hold of it. Folks, it's time to get down with it. This will help us when we can consecrate to it. For it is written, fear not him that is able to destroy the body. But I want to live. That needs consecrated to the time of God. You believe he's got the keys? I think it was, didn't somebody read that this morning? He's got the keys. Over in Revelation says, he's got the keys. It is written. So what am I going to do? Am I going to live in fear? Am I going to live in a world? Am I going to live like that all my life? Am I going to let the devil captivate me and keep me in that kind of place? He's going to keep piercing in there, and he's going to find that weakness. He's going to stay right there, making me always to fear one day after another, stacked one over another, in one moment, the fear of the night, the fear of all these things. And yet, there's a God. There's still a God. Fear not him that's able to kill the body, but him that's able to kill both soul and body in hell. Oh, how easy it must have been for those that have been consecrated. They started throwing stones at Stephen. They said he was full of the Holy Ghost. Preached to him and told him, and he was full of the Holy Ghost. And they got angry and gnashed on him with their teeth and started picking up stones and stoning him to death. But what did they do? Set him free. Oh, you can't hurt me with them stones. Only what this old flesh can hurt, can you hurt me with the stone? They stoned him, but in the middle of the stones, he saw something I wish I could see. He saw something that pulled him away from the earthly things. He beheld, and the Lord was there, and he was standing on the right hand of God. You know why sitting means something? Standing means something. Sitting means that he's established and there. And he sits there and he makes intercession for us. But he said, I saw him standing. Because standing means something else. It's ready for action. It's ready for defense. It's ready for offense. He's ready. He saw him standing. They could only take his body. And then they liberated him. What a mind. Lord, help us. What? I'd like to say to that Korean dictator, to me anyway, you can only kill my body, brother. That's all you can get. And when I come to that realization, hey, I'm dying anyway. It solids up the inside. It's solid, makes it solid in there. Now the temptations of will you live, the temptations of how well I'm going to fare, the temptations of what I'm going to wear, the temptations of all those things, it solids that up inside. It's yours, Lord. I did not choose the day of my birth or the parents I'd be born to. And Lord, I ain't going to try to determine the end either. You made it. It's yours. Lord, take my life and let it be. then it allow you to do things and go places and be something for the Lord that you could never be otherwise. Because I'll give it all to the Lord. Men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, and for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And listen to this. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So the devil's going to come to us and say, what of the future? You know, that's what this is talking about. What of the future? What of your future? What's going to happen in the land? What's ever going to happen? It's fearful. It's dark. Things are happening. You know a land can't stand this accepting the things that our country's starting to accept. I mean, they're trying to even dumb down the preachers that they can't say it. But I'm going to say it anyway. Homosexuality is wrong. God labeled us wrong. It's always be wrong. You don't have to have some group of seven men that was appointed to be the chief justice and his judges of the Supreme Court that can't even tell me what marriage is. I know what marriage is, and we all know what marriage really is. It has been established. It's God established it. And now there's some kind of the debate over it. Look at what the world's doing. And yet, with all of that that's happening, and man, we're going to fear of the heart's failing for fear of things that's coming on. And yet, in all of that, he tells his people, when you see these things, look up. That what that means is basically this to this. Quit looking here, looking here, and start looking here. And start living like there's a God still on his throne. To start living like a God that still rules the things, that still lives the thing, because of why? Because every sign that we see gets us one step closer to the thing we started out to get to start with. I started out to make heaven. We all started out to make heaven, and we've all accepted. Everyone in here is saved, have accepted the idea that we're pilgrims and strangers, and that this old body's going to have to give up in order for me to make it there. And I've accepted that premise. You've accepted that premise. And so now, we're pilgrims and strangers. We get real attached to the things around us. And the devil's going to come and just see how attached you are to the things around you. Well, I'm real attached to my home because I've lived in there over 20 years and it's just so comfortable. And so there to me, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you better realize that that ain't an eternal home. And if the Lord would so say to the Satan, I'm going to let you burn it down, then it'd burn down. And am I real or am I not? I tell this story. My sister, my youngest sister, Robin, got saved. And she was making the trip up every week, basically. She was driving all the way from Charleston. It was 4 hours one way to get up to Green Bank. And she was coming up and going to service. And she had a little old car. It wasn't much good. So I remember kind of talking with her and said, you know, they had a real good deal at that time on these Nissan bumper to bumpers, 100,000-mile warranties and all this. And I was saying to her, pretty good price. And I said, you know, y'all really think about praying about getting one of these little cars. Well, it worked out that she could get one of these cars. And she didn't have it no time, so she's up there at camp meeting, and brother went to turn around, and he pulled in, and he backed right into her new car. Bent that new car. And I was impressed by her attitude about it. He was really sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. And she said, it's just a car. Oh, but I'm so sorry. She said, it's just a car. It's a car. It's been long gone, folks. Long gone. But that was probing. That was probing. You're going to get down there and see what affections you have on what. Oh, I don't have no affections on that. And all of a sudden, somebody touches it. And you've heard me tell some of these stories. But I went home one day and walked around. I had a little woodshed back there, and I had my my chainsaw setting up, my little steel chainsaw setting up on top of the wood pile. Well, I had been really praying for days, really saying, Lord, I want to make sure that I'm committed, I'm consecrated. And I was in the mode of consecrating everything. And if I felt anything for something, I was consecrating it. Consecrating myself, my children, I was consecrating everything that I had. And you know how the Lord allowed these things to happen? I come walking up around there and went to get my chainsaw. It was always on the woodpile right there. And went to get my chainsaw, and it was gone. Somebody stole my chainsaw. I was just, oh, somebody. And because I had been so giving everything to the Lord. And there was an IBC root beer bottle sitting right in its place. And all that just stirred me. I remember thinking, something inside of me just burnt me. And I thought, not only is he a thief, he's a smart aleck. He put that bottle there to say, ha, ah, you know, it was. And I was going back down the driveway with this attitude. How dare somebody steal my chainsaw? And there was this sweet voice said, whose chainsaw? You know the Lord's that way. Whose? Old devil wasn't saying whose chainsaw. It's your chainsaw. It's yours. You got it right here. I found it. I found the spot. I found the spot. It's coming out. I'm going to work right there. Right there is where people get killed. Do you know that? There's where murder comes from. He found the spot until the Lord said, whose chainsaw? Folks, we're all tempted. It's not sin. Jesus was tempted. And there isn't any temptation there isn't grace to be able to overcome it in our hearts. And I said loud. This voice came quiet, but I said out, if you'd have been there, you'd have heard me say it. I said, Lord, somebody stole your chainsaw. Do you know what? I was a completely different feller after those words come out of my mouth. The power of that emotion was broken. The darkness, all that wanted to do something was gone. And I, because in all honesty in my heart, it was God's chainsaw. And the Lord reminded me that He had a lot of chainsaws. Well, you know what it was? A little bit, my brother came back and said, oh, I put your chainsaw back out there. There was a tree fell down the road there. And if thou be the Son of God, the devil knew no one stole my chainsaw. But that's, the devil was working on that. In our life, that's what he does. He works on it. But the Bible says, look up. Look up when the things happen to you. When somebody's again, look up. Look up, look to God. You know, God may be wanting to work that out. And it might be just because they're being contrary. And the devil's trying to say, I've seen this many times. It's amazing to me how people can seem like that they're all of a sudden against me totally. And then all the next time I see them, it's just buddy-buddy. And at that time, it was a big, big deal. And then all of a sudden, there wasn't really anything there. The devil's trying. Look up. Why? Your redemption draweth nigh. You can take that at the end, and the scripture means that. But you can also mean it, the redemption of your experience. The redemption of your character. The redemption of these things. Draweth nigh. You got the victory. Look up in the temptations. Look to God in it to help. For it is written, oh, I love that. For it is written, he said to the people of Israel, if you'll be my people, I'll be your God. If you'll be faithful, I'll be faithful. I'll take care of you. I'll see you all the way to the end. There is nothing that can pluck us out of his hand. Because he said it was that way and it's forever established. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.